said on air from the chair. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Tell all your friends so the show can grow. Take a break and crack a smile while I entertain you for a while. On air from the chair. I said on air from the chair. Show everybody, welcome back to On Air from the Chair with your host Big Mike. That's me. Today I'm excited. One, we're trying video out for the very first time, so if there's technical difficulties, but right now it seems to be working, so I'm excited about that. But I'm doubly excited because my guest today is Andrew Gilmore. He is somebody that I've known for a number of years, but probably got to know me very well. And correct me if I'm wrong here, Andrew, at the Lake of the Ozarks.
Oh, yeah. Very, very well.
So Andrew saw more than he ever wanted to with me and Speedos and all kinds of stuff there. So,
yes.
But and listener, if you have listened to the other episodes, this isn't his first named appearance. Actually, in my very first pilot, we did a shout out for Andrew and Lindy because they had a baby recently. Little Baylor Madden. So it big changes in their family. So anyway, Andrew, welcome. You know what I mean? Obviously I know you, but my listener doesn't. So if you could start off, just tell me a little bit about, you know, kind of where you grew up, your background, all that kind of stuff.
Sure. So I grew up in Ohio. We're in a small town, well, getting bigger, outside of Toledo. And, obviously, mom, dad, I have one older sister. And basically, we were a big sports family.
Okay.
And I was always outside. I love being outside. And it's kind of, as time's gone on, you know, I went to, did high school at Perrysburg, went to college at Bowling Green State University, was studying supply chain management.
Okay.
And just hated college.
Hated
absolutely
college.
Hated it.
Yeah.
And so I dropped out and started a business.
Started a business. Hey, you know, what other options are there, right? It's like, right. Okay, well, if I'm not going to go to school, then let's make money.
Yeah, right. So, but no. So Perrysburg, Ohio, it's an awesome small town. We live out in the country. I'm a big, like I said, I love the outdoors. So being around people, I like it for a little while. And then the traffic, you know, where you're at down in Texas, I don't know. I've been,
oh yeah,
I'd go bonkers.
Oh so, yeah, no, it's you're either a land lover or you want your suburban city dwelling. You know what I mean? All that kind of stuff. It's a weird mix to try to get both. It rarely exists. So, but no, I absolutely get it. So the company you started is called Top Notch, right?
Yes.
Okay. And it's a landscaping company?
Yep. It's a lawn maintenance and landscaping.
Lawn maintenance and landscaping. So tell me a little bit about the company, kind of, you know, how long ago did you start it? And kind of how did you start? Like, was it just you and one other guy or?
So Top Notch kind of started as a hobby. It was one of those ways of making extra side money, you know, and
a little beer money.
Parents, you know, like my parents, they just made us do chores. They're like, no, we're not paying you for this, you
know? Yeah.
And so this was my side hustle, and I started when I was probably 12 years old. Cutting grass for neighbors, you know. And we had like this turnover of newer families coming into our neighborhood, and we were, you know, my parents were like veterans of the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And so I went to my parents and said, hey, look, let me use the push mower. I will basically go and get these people that are moving in. They're too busy to worry about the grass. I'll go in and charge them. And so I started doing that, and it kind of took off a little bit. And so I push mowed for a while. And it was, you know, as time grew on, when I was like 14, 15, I finally had enough money to buy a tractor. So, and then I was driving around the neighborhood with my lawn tractor.
So wait, you bought your own tractor at 15?
Yeah. My dad, I think...
Contributed some.
He fronted me some money. Yeah, okay. Definitely. I mean, my parents have been a huge help with the startup of this. Because I mean, without them, you know, in initial investments, our business cost is so capital heavy.
Right.
And just with the equipment. So as this has moved forward, you know, it was just me and just mowing. And as I got into college and I was able to drive and we were kind of expanding where we were working, and I started adding more things into the business, it just blew up.
And it just blew.
I knew a lot of people in town. I mean, I've grown up here since I was born here. So
you got a great network there.
Yeah. The networking is amazing. So, basically I dropped out of school and I was still working by myself, and I decided, hey, I'm going to invest 100% into myself and, get what I need to do this at a bigger scale.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that, and Top Notch actually started as an LLC in 2016.
Okay.
As a company. And so we've been around, what is that, six years? And each year, I mean, it is just, it's doubled or tripled. And I went from myself for the first year, I had a helper the second year. And as you know, now we have 12 guys.
Oh, wow.
Multiple crews, we're expanding with doing, you know, excavation and grading, and just it's came from more of, hey, we just mow lawns. We're just
right.
We're
yeah.
Just, you know, we're just mowing to now from, it's a full
from
scale.
Flyers in the door to an actually yes. scaled business.
And I actually found it was sometime last year, I found an old flyer that we made. It was like me and my buddy, and it was like Andrew and Gino's mowing,
yeah.
you know, with a flyer and some like clip art, you know, back then when they That's didn't awesome. Have, you couldn't add the pictures into the,
right.
the Word documents. So I found that as I said, oh man, the good old times of less stress.
Yeah. Yeah. So you've grown it to, you said 12 guys now or?
So yeah, right now I have 12 guys. Okay. It kind of fluctuates. You know,
sure.
the economy with how labor's been lately.
Right.
But yeah, basically now we're doing a lot more landscaping, we're doing a lot more commercial work. We started with just residential houses, and we've built up our referrals and our portfolio to basically, you know, be able to service these high-end commercial plazas and office parks. So
right.
It's cool. I mean, you just kind of like, I sit back and look at it, I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah.
You know? And then we realize at the same time, there's just a lot weighing on you. You got guys, sure. you have.
Well, you got other people relying on you now, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Their families. And it's
right.
just, but I love the challenge. I love the challenge yeah. of the job, you know, and just owning a business.
What's your end goal? You know what I mean? Like how big do you want to make this? Endless or do you have, hey, as soon as I reach here, I'll feel like I've built this empire that I wanted to build?
I feel like it's hard. That's a hard question to answer because I feel like you're like you, when you own a business and like you're motivated to keep pushing always to the next level, you never want to stop. Even if it's
right.
Even if it's with something else, like that's kind of where I've been. I look at Top Notch and I say, well, look, if I could have somebody run this and I could step more away from it, because like now I'm out of the
daily mowing,
labor side, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm more as a sales guy and, you know, a client communication with clients, everything. So like, if I could step away and this could run, and now
right.
my door opens up and it's like, oh my gosh, there's endless opportunities. If you're
right.
motivated to push that, I
sure.
think my end goal for at least Top Notch would be sustainable,
mm-hmm.
Where there's money coming in. I can make sure that all of my employees make a great living, I enjoy what they do and want to work.
Right.
And I can go and do another venture.
So
I think that's the end goal.
How do you accomplish that? As one of the questions that I wrote down was, you know, every company wants sustainability to be able to grow, but mm-hmm. how do you make it to where, or, you know, maybe you can share what you've done or how you've done it to ensure that the quality doesn't lessen the further away you are from the day-to-day type operations. Yeah, I mean, the scalability, really. Every company wants that scalability. So how do you keep that? Because your brand is your brand.
Right.
And you don't want that tarnished. Right, exactly. So how would you talk to that?
I feel like you have to invest in the people that are working for you. I think that's one of the biggest takeaways that I see a lot of business owners. They see money coming in, work is good, but they don't, it's about them. And you have to realize that these group of guys or these people that are working for you, if they're not there, you're nothing.
You're back to 7-12 years ago.
Yeah. And I think a lot with like how we've had all these things with Corona and, you know, all this stuff, and inflation. I mean, I call it inflation right now, but some others may not. But with all that stuff going on, you see what people in the workplace are doing. And if you don't care about them, they don't care about you.
Right.
And so I've just took a lot of time to make sure like our workers feel like they're family. And I've done unorthodox things. I feel like, you know, I mean, even honestly, as simple as, hey, I'll buy a couple 24 packs of beer and on a Friday and, you know, everybody hang out at the shop, we'll throw some ribs on the smoker and enjoy, you know, I mean, some of it's just simple stuff, but people get so caught up in work, they're not thinking of that.
Right. To me, it's about making them feel like they're part of the actual organization. You know what I mean? That the brand's just as important to them as it is to you, which, you know, can be hard to do, but you know, I think what you're saying there is, you know, one, invest in hiring the right people and then invest in making them feel vested in the actual company.
Yeah. And it's hard. It's definitely hard to do as a smaller business, you know, because you don't have the margins or the profitability of a large corporation that they can go and do these extravagant things. So, you know, it's just penny pinching a little bit, but also giving your side away to, you know, to make sure everybody else is happy.
Right. So what advice would you give to somebody who wanted to start a small business and let's just say a landscaping business, but really I think it can be any type of business.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The one thing is when you do something, you learn a lot because we fail a lot, right? We try a bunch of different things. It doesn't work out. And you're like, crap, that sucks. My knees hurt, whatever. but you end up learning from it. You know what I mean? Yep. So what advice, you know, one or two little tidbits would you give to somebody that was like, you know what, a listener right now saying, you know, maybe I'll start my own landscaping company. What would be the things that you said, you know, this is what I learned and I wish I would have done then. Mm-hmm. I just hit my elbow.
I would say learn from somebody else first.
Okay.
One, it's always good to have a mentor.
Sure.
It's always good to pick someone's brain that is doing what you want to do. I think I'm friends with more 40-year-old business owners than I am guys my age, because I'm picking their brain about things that they learned and messed up, and I'm implementing them into my business.
Sure.
The other one is, honestly, you don't know until you try.
Right.
And I think that's very, I mean, you hear it a lot, and it's definitely easier said than done, because some people are risking a lot when they do that.
Well, and the problem too that I'm seeing nowadays, and I don't want to age myself and sound like the grumpy old man saying, you know, you're driving too fast, get off my lawn. What I'm seeing a lot now is people want a lot of stuff just given to them. You know what I mean? And they don't want the sweat equity of actually getting in there and learning.
Mike,
and,
you mean you have to work for that?
Right. Yeah. what's this word work? You know what I mean? It's you know what I mean? So I see that more and more where people aren't willing to, you know, or they'll get into something and they don't give it the time to really work itself through. And they're like, well, I'm not, this isn't working. And they give up too early. Whereas mm-hmm. if no, you keep pushing through those failures, keep pushing through those failures, and ultimately you'll get to where you want to be.
Yeah, I know. I 100% agree. I think, you know, there's a lot of rough patches. I've been through a lot of rough patches. And those are things you that make or break a good business owner, is you have to push through it. You have to be on the tipping point of failing to understand truly what success is. I mean, yeah. at the end of the day, I think that's the huge, there's just, people give up too easily.
Right.
They really do. And I just think if you study enough and you have good systems and you learn from somebody
mm-hmm.
and you take them under, and you're not, you don't want to rush things and be smart. I think anybody can be a successful business owner in what they would want to be.
Sure. Well, and especially if you're passionate about it. You know what I mean? I think that's the biggest thing is, you know, a lot of us have jobs and then, you know, some of us get the opportunity to do something that we're passionate about. Yeah. And it's not saying that, I mean, I don't know, Andrew, maybe you are passionate about the length of a piece of grass, but you know what I mean? You're passionate about building a business, you know what I mean? Yeah. About making a livelihood for your family,
yeah.
Which leads me into my next question. So,
okay.
Pardon me. The term, when I talk with business owners, entrepreneurs such as yourself, to me, what the resounding thing that they all say is you know, I want to build a legacy. You know what I mean? And that word gets thrown around and it means something different to everybody. Yeah. So my question to you is, you know, what is the legacy that you would like to leave? What does that mean to you? And has it changed in the last month or so since you've become a father?
I will say it definitely, I've looked at a lot of things with a different perspective after having a little girl. I mean, yeah. that you don't know it until you have her mm-hmm. and it changes a lot. But I think the biggest thing legacy wise would be just, when people think of a company that I am running, whether it's top notch or in the future, another company, that it's not that snarky. Oh, he's a, you know, oh, this business. I just never want to have anybody ever look at me in the wrong way. I always want to do good for somebody.
Sure.
And I want my name or my family's name to be kept that way.
Sure.
I think that's huge. It's just reputation and what we're known for. You know, and obviously to have options for our kids as they get older to be able to succeed. You know, I believe in having to work hard to, you know, to be successful and sure. learn.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if I'm able to offer to my kids things that either maybe I didn't have or that I would have, you know, it just, there's a lot of things like that, you know?
Yeah, no, it's, I think every parent strives for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What I'll also say is, you know, Baylor's in a great position because she's got a great role model, to show her through life of, hey, things aren't handed to you. You roll up your sleeves, you get after it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And,
yeah.
You know, I think my family was kind of built that way as well. You know, my dad was, you know, fairly successful, but he always made us kind of understand, hey, we were indentured servants too. We were the ones that mowed the grass, never got an allowance or any of that stuff. It was like, hey, you got a roof over your head and food in your belly. This is the cost of being part of the family.
Right.
Yeah. And so
you give just enough, but not too much.
Right.
And
right.
With life lessons in between.
Absolutely. So, hey, listen, I'm not going to monopolize your time, but I am going to ask you one last question that might throw you for a loop. Perfect. So, if somebody who just knows you casually, okay, or not at all, and they meet you, what would they be surprised to find out that Andrew, you know, does or is into? You know, ideas would be like, you're a classically trained opera singer. You know what I mean? Or something
I
that.
Wish. Yeah, right. Sometimes yeah. I think that, but my wife will disagree. Lindy will definitely disagree on that.
Well, I'll tell you what, in the shower, I can sing my ass off. You know what I mean? For sure. What do you do for fun outside of working, or do you just work nonstop?
Hobbies. I'm a big action sports guy. I mean, I love to go fast, but I will not go on any roller coasters. I love the thrill. What? Oh yeah, I love the thrill of speed. But
would you jump out of an airplane?
Oh hell no.
No. Okay.
Oh hell no. I guess this is a good one. One time I got dragged to Cedar Point, which is a massive one.
Amusement park.
Roller coaster amusement park in our area. And I would refuse to go on any roller coasters. Well, I got dragged onto the Wicked Twister, I think it was. And I was standing in this line and I was hyperventilating. And I had tears. And I was like 16, 17 years old.
Oh,
I
wow. Okay. Tears. Yeah.
You know, I was old. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was so nervous because I don't trust those things.
At
one
all.
Little bar over my stomach does not make me feel any bit of safe.
Right,
so,
yeah.
And I see how often they break down, mm-hmm. and I don't want to be on that thing.
Oh,
so
that's stupid.
I did end up, I went on it, but I screamed like the loudest little girl.
And that was the last roller coaster you've ever been on.
Last one I've ever been on. And I will not go back.
That's too funny. Well, no, so...
When it comes to lawn care, there's good, there's better, there's even best, but then there's top notch. Don't trust your lawn care to anyone but the very best. Top Notch Lawn Maintenance is family owned and operated, exceeding their clients' expectations in Perrysburg since 2017. Call today to learn how top-notch lawn maintenance can make your lawn the envy of the neighborhood.
You're a mind reader.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Big Mike the mind reader.
That's right, Big Mike the mind reader. No, but honestly, the main reason why I wanted you on here is, one, I really think of you very highly. I think you're a great guy. You're awesome to Lindy. You're going to be a great dad, but the fact that I really admire the fact that at your age you were able to build a business and it's still growing. It's gangbusters. You're very serious about it. In fact, you're going next week to some trade show or something, right?
Yeah, we're going down to Kentucky. I'm taking six guys down there to stay for a few days, and it's the world's, well, not the world. I don't think it's the world's. The country's biggest. Equipment expo.
Oh wow, okay.
So there's the guys get excited for that.
So now do you treat that like Vegas where you leave your credit cards at home? So that...
they do. This, let's just say it's one of those things that, you know, I do to make sure that they understand I appreciate them. They get to go have fun.
Yeah,
and that's, you know, cool. We make sure that they enjoy it. And,
yeah. No, absolutely. Well, listen, I can't tell you how thankful I am for you doing this. All right, everybody. So I am so excited to share that episode with you guys. To say that I enjoyed my time with Andrew would be an understatement. The guy is absolutely so impressive. One, just a really cool dude. Very business savvy as well. Their link to Top Notch will be down at the bottom of the description. So check them out. If you live in the Toledo area, you have to be using Top Notch. If you're interested in starting your own business, Andrew did share with me at the end of our session there off the video that he would love to be a mentor. Go to their website. There will be a way to get in contact with them from there. But other than that, guys, go to our website. Go to onairfromthechair.com. Share us reviews. Give us ideas, suggestions. And remember, who do you know out there that can sit in that chair? So there's always one question that I ask you before the end of every episode. Who dares to take the chair? Will it be you?